Happy Thursday to you, and welcome to yet another in our ongoing, some would say endless, series of perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for being at the other end of the radio waves and the telephone line and the Twitter machine and the email generator and all the other multitudinous ways we have to communicate with each other in this age of communication. So before we get underway, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of the action via phone, email, and at all, 414-1234, the local number. It's 800-926-8809 if long distance. Email perspectives at WFSU.org, and our Twitter account is at WFSU Perspective. You know, for lots of us, the term high school play may conjure up maybe some uncomfortable memories of being in one a long time ago. Maybe, you know, we muffed a line or tripped over an ill-fitting costume, bringing an unplanned comic element, perhaps, to the serious drama we were part of. Or maybe we had to suffer through one or more poorly staged, painfully amateurish productions during which everyone, players and audience alike, were in agony the whole time. Or maybe we have some golden memories of a drama, comedy, musical put on by young people that would have done justice to a Broadway stage. You remember. Remember that one you saw? The casting was perfect and the role portrayals were just spot on, and there was stunning set and costume design and the music soared. You get that idea, right? You saw at least one of these. Well, it seems there are considerable more young people's theatrics that fit the latter rather than the former mold here in Tallahassee. From high school drama departments to community companies, our kids have lots of chances to tear up the stage. And we are so happy today to have some folks who have been making that possible right here in our own area. So let's say hi to Scott Lehman. He's choral director at Lincoln High School, which has a big production on right now, right, Scott?
We do. Good morning. Thanks for having us on today, Tom.
Boy, it is great. We want to talk about Avenue Q and some of the other productions that you guys have there out at Lincoln. And we have an old friend from Young Actors Theater. You've heard him on this air multiple times, artistic director Robert Stewart, where you guys are putting on 13 the Musical right now, right?
We are. We're going into our second weekend.
Wow. How was first weekend, opening weekend?
Oh, great fun. Great fun. Great response from the audience. And the most important thing is the kids have come together and put on a great production and had a wonderful time doing it.
Scott, let's start with you. How did you get involved in the whole theatrical thing?
Well, when I was in high school, I was involved in musicals. We did Grease. I was in West Side Story, and that's the one that really, really hooked me. To me, that is the high watermark. There's no greater musical than West Side. We did Pippin, and it was just a really, really wonderful experience. I had great times with wonderful directors, making good friends. And then when I became a high school choral director, that just became part of the gig, was you music direct the spring musical. And I started teaching in Brevard County, Florida at Palm Bay High School. We did musicals. And then, of course, when I got the job at Lincoln, the history of musicals, their spring show, has always just been fantastic. And it's so much fun.
Well, the kids certainly have a lot of fun, but it's fun for the audiences too, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. Robert Stewart, Tallahassee homeboy here, and not just in Young Actors, but also you were in high school drama departments as well, right?
I started doing shows when I was a student at Lincoln High School, and I got involved in the choral department. And upon graduating, the choral director at the time, Dr. A. Byron Smith, asked me to direct shows there. So I started directing, I guess I was like 19 or 20. And then I was hired to teach theater at Lincoln. And I taught there for eight years. And then I started the drama program at Childs High School. And then in 2005 was asked to come to Young Actors and be the artistic director. I had taught classes there in the past, but this was an opportunity to try something new. And so I did that, and I've been hooked since I was a kid. My parents exposed me to a lot of musical theater.
Well, for those unfamiliar, Young Actors Theater has been around since, my gosh, when did Tina start that?
Well, next year will be our 40th year of doing theater here for kids. And four kids, four adults, performed by youth. So she's been a mainstay here in Tallahassee for nearly 40 years.
As we said at the outset, it is often not the happiest of activities to attend a young people's theatrical or musical or comedic presentation because what we mentioned before, sometimes it's a little bit rocky and the kids really aren't into it. For some odd reason, though, anyone who has been following this genre here in Tallahassee is probably stunned, if I can use that term, to see the level of quality that we have in our high schools and young actors and Theater Tallahassee, any place where young people are hitting the stage, our universities, certainly, Tallahassee Community College. What's up with that? Why do we have so many good kids?
Well, I think part of it is that we've got so many great teachers. I think it begins at a grassroots level. We've got wonderful elementary, middle school, high school teachers that are developing students. We've got wonderful opportunities outside the schools with young actors theater, with community theater, with all sorts of opportunities outside of the school. But the biggest thing is we have a community that supports it. Mm-hmm. It amazes me how many community theaters and just productions are full because this community goes out and supports the arts. It's so wonderful.
Even in this age of sort of pragmatic education, we all remember how the arts kind of got short shrift under the old mm-hmm. FCAT type of situation. And even now as we transition into another form of standardized testing, which is kind of off to a sort right. of rocky start here, there's still not a lot of evaluation of the arts as part of an overall education, at least at the elementary and the middle and the high school. And yet we've survived and thrived here in this area. Robert, how come? What do you think happened?
But I think it's really important that we as educators, we have to educate other educators in understanding that the arts can be co-curricular. You know, look at theater is it models the history of our country. People write about what they know. If you look at shows that were written in the 1980s, you see that a lot of what was going on in the 80s, we were dealing with the AIDS crisis. We were dealing with feminism. You had people such as Jonathan Larson writing. Yep. You have Wendy Wasserstein writing these plays, writing about what they know. So we at Young Actors, and I did this, I think I did this at Lincoln and Childs, was we would try to put as part of our season, something that can be grasped from the other areas of study. So we might do a page to stage kind of a production. We would do something like A Little Princess. There's a book, right? We could do Junie B. Jones. We've done Big River. It's Huckleberry Finn. So you try to reach out to other disciplines to show that, you know what, theater can also go hand in hand with other subject matter that you study right. in school. And then that also brings that story that these children read, like To Kill a Mockingbird. You read it in high school, but to see it done on stage, the impact is even greater.
It's such a different experience.
Yeah, and I think – and that's true with a lot of musicals too. We have musicals that Ragtime, that FSU just did. I mean, yeah, it's a great book, a wonderful book, but now it's alive.
And the themes are still current.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think another important thing is that as we start educating kids, realizing that lots of things can be outsourced, but creativity can't be outsourced. Mm-hmm. That's something that we've got to teach. You're not going to send you can send motherboards to be put together in a different country, but the reason Apple was so inventive was because of the mind of Steve Jobs and the way he designed and created. You can't outsource that. And that's the sort of creativity that kids are getting through arts experiences. Mm-hmm. That has to be experienced.
And they have to be a part of that creativity.
Right.
They have to be. You know, to me, the rehearsal process, people go see a show and I always think it would be really neat if they could see a documentary of that whole process of putting it together. The amount of work, but also the amount of education that the kids get, that working as a team, that taking something from the page, a few words, a few lyrics, and making it into this huge story that miraculously comes together every night with the lights, the sound, and everything is bam, it's there. They are a part of it. And it makes that a lasting a memory for them. And I think that, that they can then share that with their children. And we, and I think that's what we've done really well as a community. We have so many things that you open that limelight, you go to the online, there's something going on every single weekend in this town.
Yep.
You were talking about the rehearsal process, Robert, and the behind-the-scenes aspects of putting together a production and what goes into it as far as the actors and the set people and costumers and all of that. Talk about a team effort, and that's another skill set that is critical to putting on a successful production of any kind like this.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter the size of the cast. There are still so many people behind the scenes that make everything happen. A dark stage, you're not going to
– No. And now the costumer might say otherwise because if she has a cast of 80, that's a little bit more work. But you're absolutely right. It takes months of planning. From the moment you choose what show you were going to do to the moment that the curtain goes down and you have to mail back the rental, set, you know, the script rentals. You have to tear down the set. You have to take the costumes and clean them. It's, you know, it's ongoing.
And that picking of the show is probably the single most important, most difficult task that we have.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to get into that too, particularly since there are, as you mentioned, Scott, some kind of perennial, some chestnuts that we see on high school and young actor stages year after year. We're kind of used to it. But there's also a little bit of edginess that's been going on of late.
A little bit.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that too. And we also are inviting members of our audience here on Perspectives. If you have any memories of having been in a high school play or production of some kind, good experience. Bad experience. Now's the time to come clean. Give us a call, 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Drama and young people, our topic on Perspectives today. Give us a ring. Back on Perspectives with our special guest, Scott Lehman, choral director at Lincoln High School, and from Young Actors Theater, artistic director Robert Stewart. And, of course, your input, too, at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, perspectives@wfsu.org. Going into the break, we were talking about the selection of musicals, comedies, dramas that high schools and independent organizations like Young Actors go through. Scott Lehman, you guys... Yes, the Fantastics and Grease and all these other wonderful things that we see year after year after year. You guys tackled Avenue Q. And for those who are not up on that production, what's that all about?
Well, so Avenue Q is a musical that was created by Robert Lopez, who everybody knows Frozen, the Disney movie. He and his wife wrote all of the music for Frozen. This was a production that he did, I guess it was 2005-2006 season, came up on Broadway, and it was absolutely groundbreaking. A lot of people who aren't theater buffs maybe haven't heard of Avenue Q, but they've heard of the musical Wicked. Avenue Q is the musical that beat Wicked in pretty much every category at the Tony Awards. It won Best Musical. It won Best Book. It won Best Score. And it's edgy. It's kind of Sesame Street for adults, and the original production is definitely a rated R production. But Music Theater International, who holds the rights for it, had the authors come up with a PG-13 version. So it's actually an Avenue Q school edition. Gets rid of the majority of the language, cuts a couple of songs, changes one of them and makes it more appropriate. I don't say appropriate, but more appropriate. It's a fantastic show. It really is. And it deals with issues that everybody is dealing with mm-hmm. every single day. And that's one of the things that I look for when it comes to the selection of a show. I want something that the kids are going to be able to connect with on a personal level, something that helps them think through issues. And Avenue Q does that. It's such a wonderful production.
But meanwhile, Crosstown at Young Actors Theater, it's 13, the musical, and that may not be quite as edgy as Avenue Q, but still it deals with adolescent issues, and some of them are really kind of out there, Robert.
Well, it deals with – it's a story about a young boy who's 13 years old. He's about to have his bar mitzvah. He finds out his parents are divorcing, and his mother uproots him from New York City to a small town called Appleton, in the middle of nowhere to him. And he is trying to navigate being in a new town, having to deal with his parents splitting up, on the verge of his bar mitzvah, and trying to figure out his place in this new school. It deals with bullying, trying to fit in, and that's something that's universal. We all experience that, even at an older age. How do I fit in here at this job? How do I fit in this new group, in this new city? And it has the most amazing music. Jason Robert Brown,
who wrote brilliant.
The Last 5 Years, which has just been released as a movie. He wrote the musical Parade. It's somewhat autobiographical, and his lyrics are right from the heart. And I have found – I didn't really know the show that well. Leon High School did it a few years ago, and so I went into it fresh, not really knowing it, and I have fallen in love with it. It's fast-paced. The music is wonderful. The lighting is great, and it's performed by kids who are experiencing this in their own lives, and it's really refreshing to look at them and see them making discoveries about themselves as they do it. And that's sometimes what you have to experience and what you get to experience when you do what people call edgy shows. I mean, when's the last time you saw a production of Carousel
right.
in this town, right? So what we – when we were growing up were the classics. The classics of today are not the classics of yesteryear,
Right.
And in 30 years, who knows? Avenue Q and 13 the Musical might be considered more of a classic. When I say to kids, do you know Oklahoma the Musical? No. My generation does. So we have to understand that, like history, theater is constantly evolving.
And you even have so-called classics like Showboat, which in their own way – talk about groundbreaking. Talk about controversial.
Absolutely. Sheesh. Absolutely. In Oklahoma, I've always said this. In the last scene, there is a murder. In the last scene of Oklahoma, when Judd, quote unquote, falls on his knife, and then we sing, oh, Oklahoma, because, there's a wedding. So, you have to, in each show, there are things that you have to look at and navigate. And that's the wonder of theater and how you teach that, whether it's with kids or adults.
You get pushback from parents, though, to come say, like, God, how can you have a 15-year-old saying those lines and doing those things on stage?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And my reaction is, I'm sorry that your student's not going to have that opportunity. I totally understand that you don't want them auditioning. But the reality is you've always got 4 times as many people auditioning for a show than you can cast anyway. So there's going to be some semblance of having to –
And I think also when you have moments like that, I mean, I've had moments like that, To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, there's some harsh language in it.
Right.
I was actually in a production of it and had to say that harsh language. I think if you sit down and talk about it, I think people are reactionary. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, I can't believe. But then you sit down and you say, let's look at this. And you explain. People are much more open to understanding. Now, you're not going to please everybody, but like I said, you may not like a certain kind of sport. You don't go to it, but it's there for people. And I think the way you handle it and the way you approach it is, as Scott said earlier, it's in the education.
And understanding the context.
Yeah.
That's, right, that's the thing. Explaining the context with which it's presented.
I mean, I remember my parents saying to me, I can't believe you're playing that part. Well, I'm playing a part. But my father didn't understand that. He wasn't an actor. But once I explained, I'm becoming someone. This isn't me. That's, you know, and then you go to another level, and I always think of Meryl Streep. She always says, you know, we tend to find the things that are most like us in a character, but go and find the things that are not like you that you can then identify with. And it takes on to a new level.
Yeah. Which is called acting. Elizabeth has given us a call here on Perspectives. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for your patience. And how are you today?
Hi, I'm very good. Thank you.
Great.
I was just calling in. I have two sons who are in the Young Actors production of 13, and I was just calling in to say what a great experience they're having with it. And the two of them are in 7th grade and in 10th grade, and it's kind of a unique experience to be in different schools and yet be able to be in a show together.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'm so glad you called. I got two questions for you. Number one, what are the kids getting out of it? And number two, what are you getting out of it?
Well, the kids are getting a lot out of it. They are really enjoying themselves and enjoying working with a small cast and a variety of ages. And they are learning, I think, a lot about their singing abilities and how to take on a role that I think, especially for my younger son, was a big stretch for him. And he's really kind of inhabited that role and really become comfortable with it. And I see that like encouraging his confidence in all kinds of things that he does, not just being on stage, but just feeling like he can take on challenges and really succeed with them. Mm-hmm. So they're halfway through their performances now. They had the performances last weekend and next weekend, and he is a much more confident kid than he was a week ago.
Oh, well, that is great. Elizabeth, thanks so much for sharing that. We appreciate it. And that's a great segue into, again, those skills that young people can develop through theatrical involvement that can then translate into, since we are so into job creation and all that kind of thing, into the workplace. It's not just, okay, that's fun, but fun time's over and now it's time to get to work. What translates? What makes these folks better equipped to handle adult life, which includes the life of work?
Kids, they start to understand that they have a role to play. And I don't necessarily mean a role on stage, but they have a job. They have to, whether it's bringing a set piece on, whether it's bringing in a prop, whether it's delivering a line, and that every little thing that you do on stage is going to have some sort of an effect on the whole. And I think it's good for them to see how important they are to everything. Nothing goes unnoticed on the stage. Absolutely. And they're learning these skills, how you've got to be able to work well with each other. You're in a confined space for months and months with people. And if you need to learn to get along. You've got to learn to get along. And, you know, that's a lifelong skill. They start – if they ever start complaining about, oh, I can't – wait till this production is over so I'm not around so-and-so. I say, well, okay, just so you know, you're going to get to college and the same thing's going to happen, and then you're going to get a job and the same thing's going to happen. This is it's a life skill, working with people. Figure it out.
And I think it's interesting in theater, there are so many different avenues in theater. You know, everybody says, oh, you're the actor, but there's the orchestra, there's the lighting, there's the building of the sets, the costumes, you know, the props. And I feel as an educator that we have really gone away from, you know, teaching those skills. And theater allows you to experience that. I mean, how many people know how to sew now? Well, you know, theater does give you that outlet. And that is really important to me. You know, gone are the days of, you know, technical schools. I mean, we're really pushing kids different directions. And I think that theater does have so much more than just the acting.
And there's no scales of economy in in productions. It's not like you can go out and just buy my set and you're going to build this one dress for this one kid and you're going to build this one prop for this and there's just the skill set.
And then the skill of, okay, we don't have a huge budget, so how can we reuse and recycle things? How can we be creative? Because, you know, musicals are extremely expensive.
Part of our set for the Avenue Q School Edition we're doing are big – we borrowed from – got from you. We repurposed old things that were being thrown out by young actors.
Absolutely. Or, you know, we trade. Like we'll
– oh, yeah.
We're always as a community, you know, can we borrow that shirt? Can we borrow this? Yeah. Because we all know what it's like to put on a show. It's expensive. It's very expensive. Musicals are – right through the roof. And you have – that's part of choosing your show too. Like, you know, what do we do here?
Don't have a big costuming budget, please don't do The King and I.
Right. Or you know what? We don't have a lot for royalties. So let's look at doing some Shakespeare. Let's look at doing some public domains that don't have those expenses with it. And you have to be creative.
I remember this was the – oh, back when Rosie Wood was still principal over at Sale and they did Richard III. And instead of having it within the confines of their little black box theater, which is really a cool little facility, they blew the thing up and put it all over campus. Mm-hmm. So the audience had to go all over the place to see the different scenes.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
It was a terrific – and for the final climactic battle scene, I mean we were out on the lawn in front of the school and these TPD units are cruising by like, oh my god, is there a riot going on? And Rosie was waving off, it's okay, officer.
It's okay.
Everything is fine. It's under control. But it was a – terrifically creative way to experience Shakespeare in a totally different format.
And I think also one thing that I stress to kids is see theater. Good theater, bad theater. See it because it will help you understand and appreciate. If we all got the same script and I said come back in 30 days with your show, we're going to have you know, very different shows. But that's the creative process. And I remember when I was at Lincoln, we did – in 1996, we did Singing in the Rain. People told us you cannot do it. You cannot make it rain on stage. We were the first group to do it in town. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But we did it. And then I did – right after that show, we did Much Ado About Nothing. And I thought, I don't have a lot of costumes. I repurposed the costumes from Singing in the Rain, which takes place in the 20s. Because that's what Much Ado is about Nothing's about. And then we set it in a speakeasy, the Battle of the Sexes. You have to be creative in, you know, when you're looking at your budgets. Like, wow, that's what you do.
You're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. We are talking about youthful drama and music and comedy and all of the other thing here with Scott Lehman Kroll, director at Lincoln High School, and Young Actors Theater Robert Stewart. You can always check out our programs from the past by going to WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down programs. Perspectives is right there. We hope that you will do that and that you also give us a call at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 to share your experiences if you were in a high school play or even on college level, whatever, if you were part of a dramatic situation on stage, good or bad experience, share that with us. A lot of acting going on now. The big white building downtown in Tallahassee is the legislature is once again back in session. And this past weekend, we do TED Talks on our Saturday programming lineup on WFSU. And Tony Robbins, the great motivational speaker, was talking about how everybody markets themselves and uses all the tools at their disposal to get a job, to work with colleagues, to impress the boss, to land a significant other, whatever. That ties into acting too, doesn't it?
Yes. Every single day.
Yes. Every single day you're acting. Everybody's acting. You go to the bank. and you're acting. You go to the grocery store, you want something specific, you're acting. You change your moods around your family members. When grandma's coming towards you, you act a certain way. When you're with your peer group, you act a certain way. Everybody's acting.
Have we forgotten that? There's so much of an emphasis now on keeping it real and be true to yourself. And mm-hmm. so the person you are is the person you project no matter what, even if that person is sort of a hothead and can't get along with other people.
Yeah, but I think in today's day, you know, we have this little handheld device that connects us to Facebook. And I think people can sometimes get hidden behind words. And so they kind of are morphing. We're always morphing. And that's one thing that I think is really interesting. What you might say on social media, is that really what you would say in person?
Right.
You talk about acting. I mean, you can project an entirely different persona that has nothing to do with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then there's the struggle. Like, this is who I really am, you know? And that can happen in acting. You can get so lost in your part that you as an actor can't, you know, where am I?
Paging Lee Strasberg. I mean, right. That's the essence of method acting, isn't it? Where you immerse
Absolutely.
Yourself in
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's good and that's bad because you can get too kind of, you know, into it. I mean, you have to know when to shut it off.
Mm-hmm. But the knowing when to project certain elements of your personality, that also
right.
can be sharpened by acting
on stage. And I think that's also what's important when you're an educator, is when you're teaching these kids, is that, you know, you are separate. You're you and then you're playing a part. And that is hard. That's hard for people to understand as an actor as well sometimes, especially young people, to understand it. When we do shows at Young Actors, we bring kids to see the show and then they meet the actors afterwards. And sometimes they're afraid that, oh, that's the Wicked Witch. She's really nice.
That's right.
But that's how you learn. You
Fagin know? Is not really going to steal you.
Right. He's not going to steal you. Right. Right. Exactly. Or you know, these characters are different.
Okay. We'll be back with more on Perspectives as we talk about teen drama, young people acting and doing set design and costumes and all that kind of thing. 414-1234-800-926-8809. We shall return. To be or not to be, that is a question. I don't know, but it's a famous line out of Shakespeare that some young people have had to recite, possibly not knowing the meaning behind that particular line. But there's a lot of other kinds of drama and theatricals rather over and above the classics that many of us had to endure doing back in high school or whatever. And we have some folks to talk about here on Perspective. Scott Lehman, choral director at Lincoln High, and Robert Stewart from Young Actors Theater. Let's go to line one and say hi to Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I am just so pleased to hear Robert Stewart. And my son, Daniel Alvarez, was one of his students way back at Lincoln High when he was there. And he was just, Robert, you were just one of the most fabulous teachers. And my son had so much fun and learned so much. And it was just like, you know, school can be quite boring, even if you're a good student and doing well. Stuff like drama classes and musicals and things like that are just, they do just make school time exciting and creative in ways that regular school does not. I really appreciate you as an instructor because the kids love you.
Thank you. I will never forget Daniel playing Wadsworth in Clue. It was the most fun I've ever had. He was wonderful. And now he's like boating and canoeing all across this country. He's just amazing. Daniel was amazing.
So Daniel did not go onto Broadway, huh?
No, he probably did much better. No, you know what he's done is he has made a name for himself in ways that he has brought attention to the environment. He's a good soul and a great actor. So reliable too.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anna. We appreciate the call. Suzanne's up next on Perspectives. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. How are you?
Real fine. Thank you.
I have three teens that have been in musical theater here and in theater in Tallahassee, and they've had the opportunity to work with both Scott and Robert. It's Martine, Michaela, and Mathieu.
Yay.
And I wanted to say that theater has just really developed a sense of responsibility in them, that they are responsible for what they have to learn. And not only theatrically, but also they have to be responsible to write their biographies. They have to be at the right place at the right time and know what they're supposed to be doing. And sometimes we bring props and or clothes from home, so they are responsible for remembering that as well. So I think it's a great way to build responsibility. Furthermore, my son Mathieu is now in college, and so he's not studying theater, but he does community theater because it is an outlet for him, and it's been wonderful. They've had the opportunity to work with Judy Arthur and Rod Durham and Naomi Rose Mock as well, and I'm just blessed that they have embraced theater here in the community.
Ah, Suzanne, that is really good to hear. One thing that I know some parents have a bit of a concern about is if the kids start enjoying something too much, such as theater or music or whatever, it can be a distraction. It can pull them away from other subjects. Was that your experience, or did your guys have no trouble with that at all?
Oh, well, I mean, they're responsible and do their homework anyways. Quite recently, we've had a very stressful situation, and I told my one daughter that was going through this, I said, you know, we can drop you out of Evita. You don't need to be at Theater Tallahassee right now. And she said, Mama, you can't take away the one thing that I really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, it's sort of a motivation to get her things done so that she can then go do something enjoyable.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate the input, and we thank you for calling Perspectives here. Dolores on line four has a kind of different take on things. Hey, Dolores. Dolores just dropped. She wanted, though, to ask about that separation between social acting and acting on stage, particularly with young people. And, Robert, you kind of alluded to it here, when young people are still trying to figure out who the heck they are anyway, and you're throwing all these different persona that they can try on, at least on stage. And there's, you know, there's a reason there for concern.
I totally understand that. Having started teaching in the early 90s when we were just getting computers. We did not have email. We had dialogue with people. We had discussions. You know, I was just telling the cast of 13, I remember in fourth grade getting caught with a note at Trinity Catholic School that I handwrote to Sally, and it said, Sally, I love you more than cornflakes. And I loved cornflakes, and I got in trouble. But do they even write notes anymore? No, they're constantly texting. So what I think we have found is that now we have to kind of strip it back and say, how do we communicate with one another? And then how do we communicate on stage?
And then you're connecting with people face-to-face.
Face-to-face, right. It's different. And, you know, we've had to deal with that with our audiences. 20 years ago, you didn't say, please turn off all cell phones, you know. If anybody had a pager in a theater and it went off, it was a doctor, you know,
right.
And somebody's hurt. Now, you know, people cannot get away from it. They're constantly on that device. And we, you know, the actors experience that. There's somebody in the audience on – they're texting, you know. It is. How do we navigate that?
Well, everything is in competition for attention. This station is in competition with not just commercial radio, but also what's going on online. And if you want to see anything now, you have something called YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, Robert, when you came in with some of the players from 13 the Musical the other day, the entire musical score for 13 the Musical was right there on YouTube. I had it pulled up within moments. Is that competition also for the attentions of young people when it comes to drama?
I think it is. And one thing that I do not like about that is that, yes, it's out there. A lot of it is out there illegally. People illegally film.
Most of it's out there illegally.
And like I say to the kids, that's that production, right? I say this to parents. That's that production. That does not mean that our production is going to look like that. In fact, I don't want my production to look like somebody else's. I hope that we have the creativity to make our artistic choices. So I think sometimes you have to be very, very careful. What's in a movie is not always what's on stage. Like Scott said, they're doing the school edition. We, right, as educators, parents, we have the responsibility to educate. So we have to do some of the research. You know, I'm not going to go to a show unless I understand. I remember seeing Les Mis the first time I saw it back in the 80s. I read up on it, and I'm glad I did because it's a wonderful
musical.
Otherwise,
you have no idea.
You have no idea.
It's the French Revolution, but it's not that French Revolution.
And
it's,
right.
What are those chairs?
Yeah. What's this? You know, who are these people? Hair being cut off? I don't understand. So you have to do your research. And we as educators, we educate our students on the show before we actually mount that show.
Right.
So that I think is important. You know, we send out study guides. We really, really go for the educational side.
Let's talk to Scott, whose daughter was in middle school when she found theater. Hey, Scott.
Hey, now.
Hey, talk about your experience if you would.
Well, my daughter was – I saw a little bandit sign on the side of the road about acting studio in Tampa, Florida. And she was new into middle school. And an odd child. I have many of them. But she was a different child of ours. And called her up and asked her if she'd like to go. And she said, sure. And so we went in, and literally it was a perspective of – she kind of threw up her hands and said, my people, I have found my people.
Yep.
She fit. There she fit.
Yep.
And it's been that way ever since, and she's coming up on a junior in high school.
And what has that meant to her and also to you too, Scott?
For her, it was a sense of belonging, and more importantly, it was finding her sense of being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was really – and for me – the fulfillment of seeing one of my other – a child that didn't quite fit in other perspectives, which I have very gregarious other children and outgoing and just out loud children. And she – it just fit. For her, it fit.
And when you finally have that moment where you see that light bulb go off and they realize that they've found something that they love, I absolutely understand. I'm a father of – four daughters, and when those moments happen, it's just amazing.
And you can experience that even as an adult. I mean, I still do.
God, that's great, Scott. Thank you so much for that tale. That's wonderful, guys. That brings up another point, though. Maybe with the popularity of Glee on TV, the concern of some parents that, you know, oh, my God, I don't want my kids getting involved in that artsy-fartsy creative stuff because it'll make them weird.
They just don't know they're already weird.
We were already
they're
all weird. It's, yeah, what is weird today? I mean, you know, we're people and we all have our own personalities and – that's what's great, that we can do that. I mean, we're in a country where we can have this discussion,
right,
where we can explore different types of theater. It's that's who we are. Everybody's different.
And I've spent so much time in high school theater that a year and a half ago, when my wife Lisa and I music directed Shrek, the musical at Quincy, that was our first time ever doing community theater. We'd never done anything with community theater, right, and the friendships that opened up. Our life is so much better now, mm-hmm, because we had that experience. It doesn't just happen in the middle school and high school level.
Oh, no.
You know, you're in your 40s and all of a sudden now you find these people who are becoming dear friends and you're going to their weddings and
right,
you're – our life is so much better because we had that experience now.
And I think we have – two students at Young Actors, Nate Jones and Haley Root, who were just in Ragtime.
And brilliant.
And the experience that they had, I'm sure, was remarkable. But not only did they learn from those college kids learned from them. There's no doubt. And that, you know, I do a lot of theater in town, and I learned so much from other people, you know, just acting in a part.
Yeah. We have that kind of odd coalescence in this area. Scott, you were talking about Quincy, and of course Monticello has a company, and
right,
and everyone is cross-pollinating like crazy in this area.
Yeah. Well, there are just so many great opportunities for theater. And again, I mentioned earlier, the thing that drives it is that you have a community that's willing to go out and see it, that they're showing up. We wouldn't have all these opportunities if we didn't have an arts community in Tallahassee that supported what we were doing.
And I think it's crucial that each theater and each audience – supports one another because
right.
That's what keeps theater viable.
Right.
Okay. Brenda, let's go to you here before we go to an email from Jason. Hi, Brenda. Hello, Brenda.
Hello. This is Linda.
Oh, Linda. I am so sorry. Go ahead, Linda.
No problem. I wanted to tell you how fortunate we are to be in this community. My daughter at 1.5 showed strange tendencies to be dramatic. when a 1.5-year-old picks up a plastic champagne glass on the ship, and starts acting like she's drunk with it, you know, in a very heavy comedic style. You wonder, where the heck did she get that from? So after that, I started calling her Sarah Heartburn. And it went on. At age 4, we were at the public library downtown. We thought we were going to a story hour. It turned out to be an audition for Evita by Theatre a la Carte. I explained to her what an audition is and asked her if she wanted to participate, and she gave a strong nod of the head, and of course she was cast, and it just went on from there. But thanks to Young Actors Theater and then Theater Tallahassee, which then was called Tallahassee
Little Theater.
Yeah. She really thrived. And then there was the TCC Theater, and Yaff recommended her to Main Stage when she was about 8 or 9. She got 2 roles there. Couldn't get cast as a college student, but
but we love her.
And today she's currently on the Disney Fantasy as a Main Stage performer.
Oh my Lord, that is what a tale that is. Oh,
Sarah,
thanks,
De Revere.
Sarah's so wonderful.
I am very grateful for the theater, the richness of the theater community we have here.
Well, that is wonderful, and I'm hoping that your family is at some point able to take advantage of the richness that your highly talented daughter may provide back to the family if she can make a living at this. Gentlemen, do you have any other examples of just absolute superstars that you've had the pleasure of working with over the years?
We've had actors. I mean, we've had great people go through there. Tony Hale, Emmy Award winner, Cheryl Hines. Emily Fletcher, who I taught at Lincoln High School, and then
Daniel
she went
Reeser.
On. Daniel Reeser, yes. So many. And not just in the field of the arts. We have students who work for NASA. We've had students who've gone on to teach. One of our alum is a teacher at Swift Creek, Catherine Long. So they go into many fields, and I think that's what is successful too.
What about you, Scott?
We've just had so many incredibly talented kids. A bunch of the students that that Robert mentioned were also Lincoln High kids.
Yeah.
But then it's somebody like a Bud Simpson who's just amazing, not involved on a regular basis in the arts anymore, but still doing amazing things and just so talented on stage. We've had so many great kids. But to me, I almost like better the kids who come in absolutely raw. And then you see them just blossom when they find their place. They come in and they don't know anything. They're so green. And then they realize, here's a place where I can be involved
and,
do something.
The kids are so welcoming.
Right.
And theater kids are just really welcoming. It's a team, just like a football team. It's your family.
And I think even bigger than the kids who – you know, quote unquote, make it, we're raising up the next generation of patrons of the arts,
that's
of
right.
the people who are going to go to the arts. If you were involved in a production, there's a higher probability that later on in life you're going to go to a production.
Absolutely.
They're going to be the people that are going to be warming the seats. They're the people that are going to be helping us with advertisings in our playbills.
That's
those
right.
are the people that are going to be helping sustain us forward. And that's what we're doing. We're raising the next generation of theater goers.
I had an experience when we did To Kill a Mockingbird, a young man came up to me afterwards. He had just graduated from high school. It was his first live production. And he was like, I've never seen live theater. Thank you so much. You know, we really are, wow. You know, we need to get that out there. You know?
Well, just a second we have left here. Jason was wondering about stand-up comedy and improv theater, which we don't have a lot of here in this community. Is no more, you know, comedy clubs here?
Well, no, that's true. There are, you know, I taught an improvisation class at TCC. They offer improvisation, which is really – improvisation is really higher, you know, in theater. It's a little different than theater games. But we did have some comedy clubs. I would say to him, you know, maybe get involved with Mickey Faust.
There you go.
Mickey Faust is great.
Oh, my gosh. We could talk all day. Robert Stewart from Young Actors and Scott Lehman from Lincoln High. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you so much
for having us.
So much fun.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls handling the stuff. And next Thursday, an hour with the newly appointed sheriff of Leon County, Mike Wood, all coming up right here on Perspectives. Have a good week.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.